Hey, Strategy Simplified. It's Japheth here, your producer, and I really quickly wanted to pop in to tell you about Black Belt. So if you're targeting a consulting role at a firm like McKinsey, Bain, BCG, Deloitte, Oliver Wyman, Accenture, you name it, Black Belt is a structured case prep program that might be exactly what you need to push you over the hump and land that offer. So it is a structured case coaching program where you'll get one-on-one coaching from a former McKinsey, Bain, or BCG consultant. You'll also get a year of free access to our new community for exclusive employer info sessions, training, masterclasses, community support, and much more. Last but not least, you get unlimited digital materials to support your case prep progress. Oh, and by the way, over 80% of Black Belts who complete the program land a consulting role. That's pretty incredible. So we'd love to see you inside of Black Belt. Join at the link in the show notes. Strategy Simplified, it's Japheth here, your host. Really excited to introduce today's episode. Today we're joined by a panel of five incredible university career services experts. They're here to share the recruiting secrets they use to successfully prepare their students for recruiting, whether in consulting or otherwise. I know you'll enjoy this dynamic discussion, and you'll walk away with tools and strategies to apply to your own career journey, whether you're looking to pivot or launch your career. Enjoy.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Jenny Ray LaRue, and I'm excited to welcome you to our Recruiting Secrets panel. We have five amazing panelists today, and I'm going to let them each go through, introduce themselves, talk through a little bit about the programming that they offer at their school, what kind of students they work with, et cetera. And we'll have them just give you a little bit of an overview so you'll see who's here and what they do. Of course, this is Management Consulted, so our focus today is largely going to be on the recruiting process that is into consulting. But as you'll hear, many of the students that go through this process don't necessarily start out thinking that they're going to go into consulting. Some of them start out thinking they're going to go into consulting and go into something else. And so there's a lot of different pathways that these career services offices help with, and we're excited to hear from each one of them. We selected these panelists because we really think that they do an exceptional job sharing their process with their students, helping and championing their student success. And we know that you're going to learn a lot from what they do in your own journey as well. So I'm going to begin with our colleagues from Cornell. Cornell, why don't you go ahead and dive in?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you all so much for coming and taking some time out. Thank you, Jenny, for intro. So my name is Justin Goot. I'm a career development associate within the College of Arts and Sciences at Cornell University. I've been in this position for about a year and a half, and I work with students any years undergraduate to even 5 years after graduation. And we do various supports and services, anything from resume and cover letter review to career exploration to networking advice. Also, obviously, a lot of practice interviews. And for today, obviously, I work very closely with students, case interviewing, case prep, behavioral interview. And so it's something that I've learned quite a bit just in my time here at Cornell. And I've actually worked with Management Consulted themselves too in some training, which has been very helpful that I've gotten some one-on-one training with. And so, yeah, that's just a little bit about myself and our office. And yeah, thank you all so much.
Justin, we're glad to have you. Where's your favorite place to eat on campus?
On campus, normally, I'll be honest, I normally do bring my own lunch, but on campus,
oh,
I would say probably I would say maybe Risley Dining Hall. I enjoy, they have a lot of good options there.
Love it. Well, thanks for joining. We're so excited to have you here. And you basically said in more words, you do everything, right? You do everything for a huge audience of people, which is a really impressive job. So we can't wait to dive into the depth of what you are offering today. Let's go to SMU next.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Brandy Dalton, and I serve as the Senior Director for BBA and MS Career Programs for the SMU Cox School of Business here in the big city of Dallas, Texas. I've been with SMU for 10 years, and so a long time, and been leading this team for about 5 years now. A brief overview of our Career Center. We are a decentralized campus, so we only serve our College of Business students, and you know, we have collaborations with other career centers across campus. As far as our center, we are under our umbrella. We have four different teams that work with all of the Cox student population. My team, which is a team of seven career coaches, serves the coaching programming for all of our undergrads and our one-year Masters of Science programs. We have four of those, one in finance, one in management, one in business analytics, and then accounting. The other teams focus on MBA career coaching. So we have a team that coaches our full-time MBA programs, and then a team that coaches our professional MBA programs. And then we also have an employer relations and operations team that really serve our employers' needs on campus, put together all of our networking events, manage our Handshake platform, as well as any on-campus interviews and events. That's kind of us in a nutshell. And I'm glad to be here and excited to share more with you guys about our programming.
I love it. We also just really enjoy working with your students. Can you share your favorite place to eat on campus or near campus too?
Oh, goodness.
Maybe I'm hungry for lunch. I'm not sure, but
I kind of am right now. So, you know, you can't go wrong with Chick-fil-A, right? We are big Chick-fil-A people here. We have one actually on campus and one just adjacent. So they're always full. They're all, you know, students are always have Chick-fil-A in their hands, and it sounds really good to me right now too. So
I know where that Chick-fil-A is. I've been there before.
Yeah, it's great.
Amazing. Thanks again for joining.
Yeah.
Swarthmore.
Great. Thanks, Jenny Ray. Hi, everybody. I am Erin Massey from Swarthmore College. I'm the Director of Employer Connections and Assessment, and I've been at Swarthmore for 20 years in career services. Crazy how time flies. For those that don't know, Swarthmore College is a selective liberal arts institution, and we're located right outside of Philadelphia. We have about 1,700 students now. We've grown a little bit over the last 20 years. Started out when I started, we were about 1,400. So we've grown a little bit. We are all undergraduates. We have no grad students. So just an undergrad program. Our Office of Career Services falls under the Division of Student Affairs. So, and we're very centrally located on campus. So we're very visible. And being a part of the Student Affairs area allows us time to collaborate quite a bit with our student affairs friends. So we're always sort of interweaving in with programming with other areas throughout the college, which is really exciting. Our team is five FTE plus one FTE for marketing and one for an administrative coordinator. We also have really strong peer-to-peer programs at Swarthmore. So we do have 10 career fellows who are students who support students in various ways in their career development. Our team, our professional staff, is divided loosely between employer relations and assessment and then career education with the marketing and administrative support. We do everything Justin shared, you know, everything. We're all generalists. We do the career counseling, programming, employer programs, panels, workshops, everything. I'm really excited to be here to share what Swarthmore does.
Erin, we're so excited to hear, and I'll definitely ask a follow-up question later about your peer fellows program, because I know that's something that some schools either have or might be thinking about doing, but I can't wait to hear more about that. I feel like I should ask you a more Swarthmore-y question rather than your favorite place to eat. Like, what's your favorite poetry? I always feel smart when I walk onto your campus, but I'll let you pick which one you want to answer, favorite piece of poetry or favorite place to eat.
Well, I was ready to, Silverstein is always a big hit in our house. My husband's a big fan. My kids have all the books. We read them constantly. But we do have a brand new dining center that just opened last semester. So I would have said that if that was my question, with lots of really great stations from different areas of the world. It's fantastic. So if you're ever on campus, let me know, anybody on this call, and I'm happy to take you to the dining hall.
Thank you. Awesome. Love that. Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Let's go to USC now.
Thank you very much, Jenny Ray. Hi, I'm Oma Luen, and I would normally say Good morning, but I'm actually in New York City today, so good afternoon. I'm trying to think of how to introduce myself. I've always thought of myself as a non-traditional career services professional. I joined higher ed in 2010, and that seems like eons ago, but I came out of industry for about 20 years in industry, starting with Executive Search, Korn Ferry, Heidrick & Struggles, then heading up Nestle USA's professional staffing team. And then I joined higher ed, and my joke is that the kids decided to grow up and then they decided to go off to college. So I went with them to their displeasure. But in essence, I started at the graduate office supporting MBAs, full-time, part-time, mid-career. And then in 2018, I had the wonderful opportunity to join the undergraduate program to build their career services team. So I've been here since 2018. We started with a headcount of 4.5, and I'm proud to say that now, almost 6 years later, we're at a team of 9. We are a decentralized school, so we support just business and accounting undergraduates. There are 4,200 of those students out of the 21,000 that are here at USC. All of our degrees are STEM. There are 9 FSCs that the students can choose from: finance, marketing, supply chain, data analytics, and the like. And in essence, in terms of a quick demographics, I would say 46% of our students are female, and we've been growing that number quite steadily with gender parity in our admit class for the last 3 years. 26% are from the underrepresented target students, and 16% international, and 1 out of every 5 students, excuse me, are first gen. So that's sort of Marshall in a very quick nutshell. In terms of our team, 7 of us are career advisors, but we also focus on particular areas of financial services, consulting with the 2 biggest areas of interest of our students, but we also have entertainment, sports management. So each one of us takes an area, and then there's 2 individuals that are focused more on the operations side of things, communications, as well as employer relations. So that's absolutely very quickly, but a quick demographics of USC Marshall.
And honestly, just you have to brag about the weather because I feel like this is one thing, you know, I saw a meme once that said the best thing about winter is watching it on TV from California. So I feel like you just have to just put in a really quick plug for the real difficult times we have in the winter here when it dips down to like 66 or 67, right?
Right, exactly. But it's a cold heat.
Cold heat. We have to make up problems in California, right, with exactly. Our weather. Yeah, totally. Amma, what's your favorite place to eat on or near campus?
Actually, I usually bring lunch in, as Justin said, but when I do need to warm up, there's actually a wonderful ramen place right downstairs. So I don't have to go very far, and they have ramen and they have bao. Each of the different dining centers have a special area. So I like the one at Fertitta Hall.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you so much. Last but not least, Wash Yu.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Chapin. I'm an assistant director of career development at Washington University here in St. Louis. We're a centralized career center. We recently rebranded into the Center for Career Engagement. So we're excited about our new model and the services that we're providing across our entire campus. Our largest school is the School of Arts and Sciences, but that also includes the School of Engineering, the Olin School of Business, the School of Social Work, the School of Law, and as well as art and architecture. So about 10,000 students overall, about 7,500 undergrads. Part of our new model, the Center for Career Engagement, we've transformed into large career communities, and I'm part of the business career community. So we had a big kickoff event for signups with our students. We have a little over 1,500 students in our business career community. Myself, I've been part of our, consulting team for the last 6 years. I've been with the university for almost 20 in different various career advising capacities, engineering, consulting, sports management or sports athletics, as well as now our new community, as I mentioned. So been working with a management consultant all these years and really enjoy the work that Jenny Ray and her team has provided our students and as well as our staff. So I look forward to the panel and sharing with my colleagues here.
Do you want to brag about winter in St. Louis?
So I'm from upstate New York originally, and I was able to get back there for Christmas, and there was no blizzard like the year before. So yeah, winter's here. If they do predict any snow, they do it for like 10 days in advance, and we usually get about half an inch to an inch, and that's, you know, a big winter storm. So yeah.
Probably shuts the city down, though. Like, we call them snowpocalypses when I used to live in Atlanta.
Right? Absolutely.
Amazing. Michael, what's your favorite place to eat on or near campus?
So we have a really great area called The Village. And there's some really good chefs and stir fry that we can get there freshly made. So. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Great. Well, thank you all for joining us. I think this is going to be really fun. I'll move now to some of the moderator questions. These were some of the questions that we hear in our constant conversations with the large group of people that we get to do life with over here at Management Consulted. So I'll just direct these to a couple of specific folks. The first one is just timely for right now. It's about internship timelines. We know that internship timelines have changed and that also different student populations prepare for internships on different timelines, right? Some of them prepare 3 days before, some of them begin preparing as a part of their admittance when they come into school. And so it would be helpful for us to just understand a little bit about both how you communicate and what you see as some of the best practices for this. So when do your students start? What do you see as key insights for 2024 internships? So Oma, I'm gonna start with you for this one. What do you see in the internship landscape this year, and what would you recommend people do?
Sure, of course. Let me start with when students start. And as Jenny Ray was saying, it sort of varies. If a student is focused and they know they wanna really go into the area of consulting or investment banking, they can start freshman year. We have a program called First Year Experience Career that really helps students, you know, learn the process in terms of how to go methodically across exploring different careers. But from a consulting standpoint, since we're here with Management Consulted, typically it's sophomore year, and it starts with the applications opening for diversity and women's programs. So first semester sophomore year is really more the education piece of it. Second semester is really trying to get them to really understand what is involved in that recruitment process. And by end of second semester sophomore year, they need to be ready to start the applications and preparing for interviews for their summer, where the recruitment process starts for the McKinsey, Bain, and BCG, the MBBs. And then by fall is really starting with a big fall, big four, as well as the regional firms. So it can start as early as freshman year, but typically it's the heart of it is in the second semester sophomore and first semester junior year.
Great. Where do you see firm-wise some of the opportunities this year? There's I don't know if I call it a misconception, but there's just like a murky view of whether firms are hiring, whether they're hiring for interns, just with some of the delayed start dates and this economic uncertainty. Can you just tell us like who's hiring? Who's committed to hiring this year? Are you seeing the same numbers that you have in the past? Just give us a little bit of a view on what you're seeing in the recruitment.
Right. I think it is a tricky year. I think you're right in that. In essence, summer 2024 internship recruitment for the MBBs and the Big Four was really in the fall. So fall hiring was really it, but we are seeing still a lot of the regional and boutique firms hiring in the spring of 2024 for summer of 2024, but mainly in the healthcare area, more specialized niches, less on the strategy and the advisory side, but there's still internships available. They're fewer, definitely, than prior years. So it is quite more competitive, if you will, but that's what we're seeing on our campus.
I love it. Erin, do you mind weighing in on this as well from a little bit of a different perspective?
So our students are similar, obviously very varied in their timeline and the engagement. You know, some students are prepared when they come in freshman year. I know this is what I want to do. And even if that changes along the way, they're committed. And then other students who come in their senior year, like the week before they graduate, and say, oh, you know what? I hear that consulting could be really exciting. How do I get into that? So it's a different type of advising, depending on, you know, where they're coming from. We do our best to share out what the recruiting timelines are. And as we all know on this call, those timelines have escalated quite a bit. So we try and do some educating in first-year sophomores of students, because a lot of times our underclassmen, freshmen and sophomores, will come in and think, you know, oh, I want to do consulting or finance. Well, we know that those are so different, but to them, it's just business. So, you know, we try and do a lot of educational stuff during the freshman and sophomore years, but that are a little bit less intimidating than, say, come talk to these big four firms. Where it might be an alumni panel, we call it education and careers in finance and consulting. Really, if you have a new name, let us know. but you know, it tells the students, you know, hey, this is what consulting is, this is what finance is, in a very safe environment, with alumni usually or really strong firms that we have good connections with. What we tell students too, same thing, key insights for their internship search is to network. And when you think you're done, network some more. Never stop. A lot of times we get the question of how many should I apply to, you know, until you get one that you're happy with and you want to accept, right? Our goal is that you get as many offers as you can, and let you be the one to decide not to take it. And a big in for us as being a liberal arts and a smaller institution, we are not going to be a target school for a lot of those big firms. It's going to be a lot through our alumni connections and networking, and then also the diversity programs. So if you're interested in any of those areas, I would definitely recommend any student to look at different programs at the different firms, because they all have different types of programs that they offer in that regard.
Amazing. Let me move on to the second question. This question I'll direct to Justin. So Justin, what's a common mistake that you see students make, and how do you help students avoid them when you can?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I think for me, at least, probably one of the biggest, at least related to kind of management consulted and sort of the pursuit of consulting as like an internship or career, may be, I guess, twofold. One would be not fully maybe knowing everything kind of about what consulting entails, and which is obviously quite all right, but I guess of just somewhat peers or others have talked about consulting and it's kind of a buzzword, or it's a, you know, an industry or field that a lot of alum, you know, go into. So naturally, oh, okay, hey, let me pursue that. And that can happen with finance too, of just like, oh, I want to work in finance. And so I think sometimes that can be sort of one common sort of struggle of like, well, why is it that you want to go into consulting, and sort of helping them kind of navigate and figure that out of, hey, is it, you know, again, kind of processing all those things. And I guess the other might be just the uniqueness of case interviews compared to sort of behavioral interviews, where naturally casing does to really, you know, get good at it, it does take a decent amount of practice. And so sometimes, unfortunately, there are students that maybe aren't fully aware of the differences, nuance, and thinking that like, okay, hey, just doing a case or two might be sufficient enough, where realistically, especially from some of these very competitive, you know, MBB firms, where ideally you want to be doing a few dozen cases, and whether with your friends, whether with career professionals selves, whether with other individuals, colleagues, even yourself a little bit, that really giving yourself enough time. It's not to say that you have to be practicing for months and months and months, but ideally, we do kind of encourage students to try to start a little bit earlier. And sometimes we do that through different sort of workshops a little bit before kind of the hiring period, as well as just newsletter and other information and other sort of resources to kind of encourage them to start a little earlier. So they're not applying and then doing a case interview or two, you know, a week before for the first time.
Justin, I'm going to come back to you for a second piece of this question.
Sure.
And I want to share just a little personal anecdote. You mentioned at the beginning that you work with students up to 5 years after undergrad.
Yep.
Yep. And just so that you know, I would have been one of those students in your office. Did not want to, everybody wanted to do consulting. So I did not want to do consulting when I was on campus.
Yep. Yep.
And I shaved my head and I traveled around the world and I started a business in South Africa. And then a couple years later, my friends who had gone into consulting were like, hey, PS, what you're doing is like consulting, but there's a lot of benefits. You should think about it. And so I came back to my career services office. So my question for you is this, like, let's talk about the wild ones, right? Like the ones who don't follow the pathway. What should they do if they, you know, kind of like, what's the best way for them to make use of their time or to build experience? Like if they don't do consulting and they don't do finance and they're not in the lane, what else do they do? What would you recommend for those students?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I always, you know, encourage students to obviously sort of pursue what they're most passionate about and don't necessarily, you know, as you know, working at the, you know, School of Arts and Sciences, where we're always constantly telling students that like your major doesn't decide your career, that you can explore during your time, the 4 years at Cornell and certainly beyond, to study what you love, study what you're passionate about. So don't, you know, life's too short to sort of be working in a job or career that you're not really interested in. And so I think it's usually kind of starts with that and kind of encouraging students. And I know, I believe like Aaron touched on a little bit of kind of the importance of networking. And I think that's also a very valuable, obviously sometimes students will, you know, learn what they like through different internships and roles and opportunities. But I think maybe one of the easiest, best ways is to be talking with individuals and alumni and others and just sort of learning from them, being a sponge, taking in as much information and gathering. And yeah, it might not be quite the same as an internship, but I think you can definitely learn a good bit of, hey, what is it that they really like about this role or dislike? Or is this something I see myself? Oh, you yourself didn't get into consulting until several years after. That's encouraging because this isn't even on my radar. And so, yeah. And I usually share even myself of like my background, where I never would have thought I'd be a career advisor, you know, after I graduated. This wasn't on my radar. And hey, people take different pathways and that's absolutely fine. So, yeah.
Love that. Good. There's hope for the rest of us, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Good. Because I think you're right. Right. Students starting early and practicing a lot like is a great pathway to success. But there is something that having your heart totally in it and knowing where your heart is and goes, that it's powerful too. Oma, I'm going to come to you now. Here's a question for you. What's an impactful resource or program or process that you offer or walk students through to help them understand and explore their potential career paths that are available to them?
I would say the first thing that we always try to do is instill in students the importance of doing research. So, and I always say there's so many different ways to do research. And one first thing is, if you are more of a books, if you're more of a student that learns by reading, Vault is a wonderful place to start. And it's a resource that we have, all USC students have access to, and I'm sure all schools have access to that as well. But beyond that, when they're exploring different careers, connecting with individuals, doing informational interviews, going and so teaching them how to do that effectively is also part of that process. So connecting with alumni, with upperclassmen who are pursuing that track, that's also a great way to say, is that right for me? The other piece of it is also just actually reading job descriptions to actually better educate yourself as to what is actually out there, what's actually in the current marketplace, who's hiring right now, and of that, What's in the job description? Are those things that I would like to do, or are those things I've already done? What skills are they looking for? So reading job descriptions is actually a great way to explore careers, and does that resonate with me? Also attending all the amazing events that I'm sure all of our schools provide students, and trying to get them to come and to experience that, and saying, does that resonate with me? And of course, if that does, then showing them the different resources that are available, whether it's Wall Street Prep or Training the Street or Management Consultant being one of those. There's so many different wonderful resources that will help them take a deeper dive in any avenue that they seek. So I would say make use of those companies that are coming to campus, because they're looking to connect with you. So bottom line, research, outreach, and connecting with individuals, and really focusing on one or two career paths that you think will be is up your alley. And lastly, knowing the timelines and what employers are looking for. So hopefully that answered your question.
I love it. I think that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a tall task, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and undergrads are deservedly wild when they think about their future, right? But it is always amazing to me, the amazing work that everyone puts in the career service offices, and how many people come to us in the couple years after and say, like, where can we go to these events? And I'm thinking, we were all there. Like, I was there and I didn't go, right? I was there. They were there for me in a buffet. And I was like, I'm actually just going to go eat some, you know, noodles in my room. I didn't show up. So for those of you that are in school, your career service offices are prepping these things for you. Go get your booties there.
Hey, Strategy Simplified, it's Japheth here, and I'm quickly popping in to tell you about Strategy Sprint. Strategy Sprint is a week-long virtual consulting project that allows you to add US-based work experience to your resume. So you work in a small team, you get mentored by a former McKinsey, Bain, or BCG consultant, and you solve a strategic growth issue for a real world client. So that means you gain incredible skills and experience that looks amazing on your resume. We are running several sprint projects throughout this year. Check out the dates and the link to register at the link in this episode's show notes. We look forward to welcoming you to a future Strategy Sprint project.
Let's see here, Brandy, I don't think we've heard from you yet, so I have a question for you if you're ready for that.
Sure.
Talk to us about how you reach students early enough, right? Justin was kind of talking about this challenge of getting students to prep enough, but like, how do you reach them early enough? Because time is one factor in having them have enough time to be able to plan for early deadlines and also the needed prep for case prep. How do you reach them? What's been the most effective for you to actually get students motivated to get started?
Yeah, sure. I can chat a little bit about that. I think we are so lucky in the Cox School of Business and in the fact that we have a required freshman course that the career coaching team actually teaches the majority of that course. So every freshman accepted into the business school is required to take this in their first year. And so we're able to talk about different recruitment timelines, paths to preparing for those timelines, early recruitment, the diversity hiring, and really get them prepped in advance. And also stress the importance for like case and technical interviews, why starting early and prepping, you know, getting your reps in over time and building the skill set for cases and technical interviews, we're able to really hone in on that early on in that course. Beyond that, you know, this exploration programming and some of this early program is definitely things we've developed over time, since consulting is such a big interest of our students. We created, or the coaching team created, a summer programming series for. So we start in the summer. This is for incoming students as well as students currently at SMU that want to participate. We call it consulting and case prep. So it's not just limited to students interested in consulting, because as you know, we're seeing more technical and case interviews being adopted by other industries. For instance, marketing, you know, CPG marketing, definitely one of the ones that we try to include there. And we're just seeing, you know, students expectations are, becoming bigger and grander in each interview they go to. So we try to include, students with different interests just to come prep for the case. This is conducted over the summer, virtually half led by our consulting career team. And then we also bring in employer speakers to come and talk to what the career path looks like, what the recruiting timeline looks like, how to succeed, really hone in what we're saying, right? Because sometimes they get tired of hearing from us. They really need to hear it from the industry professionals. So we launched that a couple of summers ago. And part of that is a management consulted workshop. We couldn't do it without you guys. I mean, we bring you on, I think, three times a year now, providing more introductory case prep for some of the students that are just started to all the way to a very technical case walkthrough and training. And I think having the different options for students to jump in with our curriculum, but also having management consulted come in and teach that has been super helpful for our students. So I think with all of that, it's, we've really been able to make an impact in getting students earlier in and really understanding the need for a lot of preparation in advance.
Brandy, y'all are really best in class for that. And I love the fact that part of it is opt-in, the summer program. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure some of the other schools that don't have that mandatory class are a little jealous because, gosh, what a great way to get in front of the of the students. But something at least to consider or think about bringing up, with your administration over time, because I think the fact that SMU has done that has really been a strategic advantage over time. So thanks for sharing more details
yes,
about that.
Of course.
Well, great. Let's move on to a series of audience questions. I think there are some really great ones that are here, and I want to ask each one of these. So the first one is, and I'll actually go to Michael for this one. Michael, can you share an example of how your team supports students in the consulting prep process? Since you just launched these communities, maybe talk a little bit about what the community does and also what the team does. And just walk us through everything from resumes to networking all the way through to case prep.
Yeah, I really, that's a key element of certainly getting started. We do it with a kind of a career kickoff week, from everything of what is consulting to consultify your resume, introduction to case interviews, student panels from upperclassmen who have had internships in consulting to really just motivate our first and second year students to get on board. We get a lot of support from student clubs and the business fraternities that really want to develop their skills and knowledge bases further. We have career peer leaders on our staff. These are upperclassmen that have had internships who really sit down and work closely with our students as well as our staff. And one of the unique programs that I would say that we offer are what I call a case interview workshop teams. And these little small group teams of five or six students with a career coach as well as a career peer leader, really break down the case development process with students. We found that students certainly can learn in a one-on-one environment, but when you can do it in a small group format with five or six students and break down different parts of the case, that learning and development really grow amongst the group. There's motivation, enthusiasm to come back week to week. And that's a nice program to develop further. Another program that we have that I think is a strong one is for about 8 years now, we've done a consulting mentor program. So we partner with our recent graduate alums who maybe are 1 to 3 years out in various firms. It's kind of the pay it forward mantra where they themselves have been part of the mentee, a part of the mentor program, and those interactions and that partnership, that matching process are started in May through August, where they connect right at, well, now in the middle of the recruiting season for the big three, as we know.
Yeah, seriously.
But certainly in the start of the fall semester, usually the students are pretty geared up, ready to go for their recruiting efforts.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. So what do you not do? I should have asked that instead. That would have been a you don't walk them into the interview by the hand, right? That's the only thing you don't do. But
Yeah, it
that's
feels that
a
way, but they really give our students got a lot of credit, and part of it is that that pay it forward, or students really want to get involved and help each other out. It's whether it's this generation or just the culture of our students are on campus, it's really amazing to see how the give back aspect of where students are. It feels very non-competitive here. It's very supportive, so I very much enjoy that.
That's a gift for sure. Erin, I'm going to go to you now. Talk to us about career centers and students, how you recommend that both of you leverage opportunities if you're not a target school for firms that students would like to go to or that you think would be a good match for your students.
Definitely use alumni in the most positive way. So we are not a target school, as I mentioned earlier, for a lot of firms. We do have a very strong and committed alumni base that want to see other, we call ourselves SWATies, other SWATies in their workplaces. So we lean on that very heavily. Some of the things we help to do for early on in the process is we do a case interview buddy list where we try and match students up with alumni, and then they do prep sessions throughout the it's set up for the summer. They'll do some casing over the summer. We do a lot of that. We do a lot of panel sort of off the record, and it's always very clear. I'm not here recruiting for XYZ firm. I'm just here to give my alum perspective. But talking to alumni and trying to dig your way in that way and trying to make those connections, and then certainly applying. I mean, obviously apply to the diversity programs are a big one, as I mentioned earlier, but that's one that we also encourage a lot of students to do as well to get their foot in the door.
Love it. Okay, awesome. I love how you said use in the best way, right? In consulting, we have a word for that. We call it leverage, right? We leverage, or kind of lean on some of those opportunities.
And our alumni are very, if you're in that situation and you're listening now, if your alumni were in that situation as well. So they
Yes,
want to
they
give back.
know.
They know what it's
Yes.
like. They know that it's hard. We rely very heavily on our alumni who are amazingly helpful.
I found that even at Bain and coming from a target school, honestly, the same thing was true. In any competitive space like this, there's a sense of honor and gratitude, I think, when you get in, because it's not possible to do it alone. You can't case alone. You can't get the feedback alone. Nobody can point you in the right direction alone, right? No one wakes up and they're in diapers and they know how to do this, right? It just doesn't work like that. So I think that sense of community is something that is really a great piece of advice. Thank you for sharing. Brandy, I'm going to ask you kind of an unusual question for the thread that we've been going through, but this is one that came from our audience that I really liked. What are a few tips to appear more confident in an interview?
Oh gosh. I don't think anything can replace you feeling confident if you're prepped, right? So I think there's really in case interviewing and even in behavioral interviewing, I think is you can't fake it till you make it. You really have to know your stuff. With backup questions, things that come up. I think just there's
Good.
nothing that replaces practicing and getting your reps in with your career coach, your case buddies. I love all the other schools' case buddy system. I think that's great. You can learn so much just hearing how other students answer questions, and using those as good examples or bad examples, and how to change your approach. I think the more people you talk to in an organization and you feel confident in the advocates that you've built within each consulting firm, I think that also allows for some confidence because you have people there advocating for you, fighting for you, because you've done your work and you network the right way, and maintain that relationship. Again, I just don't think anything can replace reps. I think you have to come in and practice. The students that come in a week before, do two case interviews and think they're ready, it usually ends up badly. And then they don't ever want a case again. And that's not what we want, right? So I think there's nothing that will make you more feel more confident that you've gone in with your career coach, you've done about, you know, 50 to 100 case interviews, maybe not that many, but, you know, that would be ideal, right?
But not two.
Yeah, but not two. You know, you've done the work. And I think that's part of what, you know, these, you know, daunting recruiting processes are about, is to really see your interest based on the work and prep you did in advance to the interview. And that really shows. And I think ultimately makes the students come off more confident because they know they've done their work.
Love it. That's such good advice. Thank you. An important reminder. Justin, I've got a question for you now. You look at a bunch of resumes. You mentioned that resume reviews are some of the things that you do. So students who are smarty pants, who take all the right classes, who get all the good grades, it's so competitive amongst them, right? What makes those kinds of applications stand out? What have you found?
Yeah, great question. I think a couple different things. I think one, understanding that a resume isn't just obviously of, you know, college you went to and experiences and sort of names and titles that are fancy sounding, that like it is the experiences that you did and how you're describing it, and having, I think, such an important part of a resume is the visual look and the visual appeal, and understanding that a lot of these companies, obviously more and more leaning towards like AI and different systems that kind of read it, but of when there is a human HR rep that's kind of looking at it, realistically, they're just looking at it for probably a minute or so. And so the little attention
could be
detail,
generous. A minute might be
Yeah,
generous.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's probably it's exactly. Could even be, yeah, 20, 30 seconds. So how you're sort of describing the various experiences that you've done, of kind of answering a lot of those who, what, when, where, why questions, kind of quantifying, qualifying it with as much information, the little things of attention to detail, of whether periods are at the end of bullet points and some are, you know, some aren't, and kind of the inconsistency. I think the consistency of an overall resume, of really elaborating and detailing things as much as possible, that I would highly encourage all students obviously here to go to career offices and have your resume reviewed, understanding too that like the process is, you know, it's kind of like writing a paper where it might take a couple different drafts to get it through. And it's not just one of those things of, hey, follow this template, this is the only way to do an effective resume. No, of course, there are different sort of formats and styles and techniques that, you know, even I tell my students when me that I might recommend something that, hey, if you like this, that's fine, as long as you're kind of considering these things and weighing these options, that there isn't only one right way, but you definitely want to factor in kind of the visual look and kind of the consistency, I would say, is another just very important sort of attention to detail within a resume.
I love that. Okay. Thank you. That's good. It kind of, honestly, not super different from what Brandy said, right? Put in the work, like do the, it's, there's no purple coloring that you can add to a resume to make it stand out. That
no,
is like the magic
exactly,
bullet, right?
Exactly.
And, like you and have that's to, where... the resume just needs to be great. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Oma, last question from our audience questions. You mentioned earlier the importance of networking. What is the easiest way to ask for a referral? What's one do and one don't in the networking and referral asking process?
Right. The first thing I'm going to say is networking is really important, but there's actually two different reasons that one would network. One is to, you know, hopefully get that referral. So I don't, and I'll come back to that. But the first thing is really to gain insight. And I call it insider information. If you're talking to somebody that is working at that firm or in that industry, they're the You're getting it from the source. So to go into those sessions ready to know this is what I'm looking for and this is what I want to get out of that conversation is to prepare ahead of time your questions for this individual. And secondly, is to really build a rapport so that they will become an advocate for you. You can't go in saying, will you be my advocate? It's something that you have to earn and develop and nurture. It may not happen in that first 15 minutes, but you have to work towards it. So if you go in and say, I'm applying to this job, will you refer me? Chances are you're going to get a no because they have no idea who you are. But if you work towards it and build that knowledge and rapport with that individual, that will happen. But it's not the first ask. So I'll end it there, and I'm happy to continue on if needed.
Okay, no, that's great. I think that differentiation might help people understand that networking can be valuable for more than one reason, right? It's not
right.
just about that transaction, but it also that insight does become valuable, especially if you're blessed enough to have multiple offers, right? You know, some people have these choices, and knowing the firms better will help with that a lot. We have about one spare minute here. Is there a question that I asked to someone else that one of our panelists would like to answer that you didn't get a chance to weigh in on? Is there something that you're like, hey, I'd love to just add a little bit of spice to this particular question?
I would just jump in and say about the confidence question. It's not related to consulting in specifically. It's just any field. I just say this a lot to students is, you know, to have the confidence in the interview, you got to the interview because they like what they see on paper. So own that and go into it and rock it. You know, tell them how you have it, what you have, showcase that. You know, a lot of times students are like, oh, I don't know, maybe they just interview everybody. I'm like, no, they don't. So, you know,
that false humility doesn't help, right? When you walk into the interview. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they like what they see. So go with that. Let's find out what that is and let's show them.
So good. Yeah. Anybody else?
I guess because I know there's students on here, I think this is kind of the mistake question and also prep and everything. Best advice is, and what we see at SMU sometimes happening with, especially in some of the early recruitment timelines, don't compare yourself to others. You know, everyone's career journey is their own. There's some students that may be more ready for cases and technical interviews than you are. Just get yourself ready. Focus on you. Focus on your own success. You know, focusing on everyone else that's getting offers, that's getting asked for interviews, it's just going to discourage you, and you know, make you want to quit. And so, don't quit. Just focus on you. How do you get there? And just again, just don't compare yourself to others. I think that's one of the issues we have a lot with students, and it just causes a lot of discouragement and disappointment and frustration. And we find that sometimes that, you know, presents a hurdle where they just want to stop doing anything, and that's not what we want.
Such a good word. I love that.
And I think to build off that, I really like that as well, is that, hey, for all the students that are in attendance today, this is already like a great first step into learning more of figuring out sort of what to be doing, that already attending some of these like Zoom, you know, info sessions and chats are awesome. So keep up the good work.
Love it. Well, let's wrap up. I would love for all of you just to, first of all, thank you. If I haven't said it enough, we really appreciate not just coming on the panel today, honestly, but all the work that y'all do with your students. We see the heart and soul that you put into it. And I'm just really grateful that the students have access to your teams. It's a real amazing gift. Can you just share from everything that you've seen, known, and amalgamated over this process for you, what's your top piece of career advice as we close today? Michael, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think everybody presented amazing tips and tools. I would say for the students, certainly as consulting is a target area for you, make sure you always give yourself plan 1A, 1B as to you have other areas that you're strong at, adept to, build skills in. It's a very competitive environment. You certainly want to land, but your growth and development into other areas, other career paths, that are complementary will also prompt you into those great interviews, whether they're consulting or not. So continue to spread your abilities to explore and engage. That's going to really keep your motivation high.
Amazing. Love that. Thank you. Erin, what about you?
Gosh, one piece of advice, I'd probably say keep on swimming, breathe, step by step, day by day, application by application, resume review by resume review. You know, it can be a very overwhelming process. It is a very overwhelming process, but just take it piece by piece, get through it. You're not alone. If you're a student on this call, there's your Career Center is here to help, whether you've ever been there before or not. Go in, make the call, make an appointment, talk to people. Your institutions want you to succeed. People want you to succeed.
Gorgeous. Thank you. Oma, how about you?
Okay. I have a not quite a list, but they all sort of come together. First of all, and there are themes that we've been discussing throughout the hour, but A, do your homework and just the importance of research and wherever you can find that information. Secondly, to truly build out your network, and that's not for referral purposes as we discussed, but also gaining insight, but also knowing yourself. That's part of doing your homework, is really being able to answer those why questions. Why consulting? Why investment banking? Why that firm? Why that practice? Why that city? So that's only going to come from knowing yourself and being able to answer those questions. And also, and then practicing, and I would say correctly, taking in feedback and not just practicing by the heck of it and, you know, getting that, you know, tennis stroke wrong. But the other piece of it is really, it's as Brandy said, you know, strive for that personal best. It's a competitive process, but if you are really striving for being, you know, you're achieving your personal best, that will get you further. And to really look upon it as recruiting as a team approach. So practice with one another, learn from one another. I always think that you can really build a stronger you by raising the bar overall. And just be intentional about what you are looking to do. And if you truly want it, put in the time and effort. So.
I love that. Thank you. Justin.
Yeah, I think touched on it a little bit maybe earlier, but I do think just pursuing your dreams, pursuing the passion sort of, and that can be a little bit of a process of figuring out, obviously, where you want to go and what you want to study and do and whether consulting or potentially another field is ultimately right. I think definitely, you know, doing what you love is a very important first step that sometimes we don't always, you know, emphasize enough. And then I think probably to like touch and build a little bit of kind of what Erin was emphasizing, I think knowing that there are just so many people here to help and certainly as, you know, higher ed professionals, that all of us are here to help. This is what we love to do, of talking with students and reviewing materials and helping with applications and interviews, that do not feel like you have to be going this alone. We are here. This is what we, yeah, love doing. So knowing that you all have obviously career offices and counselors that, you know, there are no dumb questions. There are no, if you're going in, it's like, I don't know if I should be in here. You're in the right place just by not thinking if you're in the right place. So, yeah.
That's an awesome encouragement, especially to students who will opt themselves out of the process. Opt back in, y'all. Opt back in. Brandy, last but not least.
Sure. I'll try to keep this brief, but I think we all said it probably in our answers to pretty much everything, is just never stop networking. From college student, freshman, to MBA, to professional out in the workplace, this should always be something at the top of your mind. You know, be future thinking, future forward of how this contact can bring, you can bring benefit to them and they can bring benefit to you, because that's really what it's about. And also know that networking, not everyone's good at networking. Most of us aren't. Most of us have a fear of networking. Most of us are intimidated by networking. It's not everybody's favorite thing, but it's a skill. It's a skill that takes practice. And
to, you know, build upon, and you'll get more confident in it. But I promise you, there's nothing better you can do for your career as a student or as a professional than build that your networking contacts and your advocates. It's so important, especially in today's job market.
So good. Well, I would love to take 100 questions from the audience, but we're sadly out of time. So everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. If you do have questions, if you want to connect with us as well as with today's presenters, we did prepare an option for that, knowing that there probably would be too much good stuff to talk about today. I know that all of our presenters today, thank you for your generosity of time, have kind of said, hey, this is how y'all can get in touch with us. If you are a school that wants to learn more, of course, feel free to reach out to us, and we're happy to put you in touch with any of these amazing organizations as well. And if you're a student who's looking for help, again, Eden, who's still on the call, Eden is the best way to take a look at your resume. And like Justin was saying, right, help you opt back in, help you figure out how to do it, where to do it, and where to go. So for those of you that don't have access to your own career advising process, we're here to help you with that as well. If you haven't connected with me on LinkedIn, that's my favorite place to go. And on Thursdays, I do what we call 1 minute office hours, where any student or career service professional, anybody can write and just say, hey, I've got a question about this. You don't even have to be a management consultant partner. I love to answer those. So if you aren't connected, please do connect on LinkedIn. And moreover, just thank you again to our panelists. Thank you for your time, for your insights, and for everything that you do. We appreciate you.
Hey guys, if you got any value at all from listening to this Recruiting Secrets podcast, we'd love to get your rating and review on the Strategy Simplify podcast. Whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify or elsewhere, we'd love to just go ahead and rate. If you can, leave a short review of what you're finding value in. It really helps more listeners find the show. All right, we'll be back soon with another episode of Strategy Simplified. Cheers.